Welcome to Take Note on WPSU. I'm Emily Reddy. Schooled is a new podcast from Keystone Crossroads that takes listeners inside of public schools. Season one follows Savannah Zayas, a teen mom in a tough area of Philadelphia who's determined to get a diploma. Kevin McCory, WHYY's Keystone Crossroads education reporter, interviewed Savannah over the course of more than a year in order to make the podcast. Kevin McCory, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Emily.
And Savannah Zayas, thank you for calling in.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
I'd like to start by giving listeners a taste of the Schooled podcast. Let's listen to the first couple of minutes of the first episode.
It's early February, and Savannah Zayas is just 4 months away from proving the world wrong.
I tell myself every morning, Savannah, your life is gonna be different. You're gonna have a good life.
When she became pregnant in middle school at age 14, the odds of her making it to and finishing high school were long, especially so coming from a poverty-stricken neighborhood in North Philadelphia, and many people let her know it.
I was really ashamed when I was pregnant. I was ashamed and I was, like, disappointed because people used to always, like, tell me, like, you're crazy, like, you're a baby and you're having a baby, like, you're in middle school.
So far, 6 years later, Savannah has exceeded expectations. She's a senior at North Philly's Edison High School, where she's a member of the National Honor Society. After school, she works with younger kids from the community at a local nonprofit. And on top of being a mother, she helps run the household for her own mom and her two younger siblings. And while she often carries her burdens with grace, they can also overwhelm her. Her day-to-day life is a struggle. Her past is a cross to bear. And sometimes, like here in February, she feels on the verge of giving up.
I feel like I'm running down a hallway and I'm never going to reach the door. Like, that's kind of how I feel.
This is the story of Savannah's life, based on more than a year of interviews with her, her family members, her teachers, and her mentors. Savannah's struggles aren't unique. They're all too common for the many students who live in neighborhoods of deep poverty. What's unique is Savannah, her wisdom, her resilience, and her openness to sharing insights that give us a better understanding of the staggering needs at our most challenged schools.
So, Kevin, how did you find Savannah, who, as you say, is unusually open, articulate, and thoughtful?
She was testifying at a kind of informal city council hearing that happened in May of 2016. And I was just immediately struck by her maturity and her ability to really put all her thoughts and feelings into words. I mean, I talk to teenagers a lot who are students, you know, through the course of my education reporting, and people like Savannah are very unique to find. You know, there's people who live very difficult experiences but can't necessarily put their thoughts and feelings into words. Savannah is someone who has seen a lot, who knows a lot, and who also can speak to it. And that just made me just struck by her, and I needed to talk to her after I heard her testimony, and we talked out in the hallway. And, you know, just talking to her a little bit more, I got even more of the sense that this is a very special, unique person that I would love to spend some time with. And then we set up an interview. And once, you know, we started talking more about her backstory and her life story, it was like, you know, this is a project that I'm really excited to invest a lot of time into.
And she was testifying about the quality of her high school, or the poor quality of her high school.
Right. So it was specifically in this period where the school district of Philadelphia, where Savannah attended Edison High School, which is a big comprehensive neighborhood high school in North Philadelphia within the school district of Philadelphia, the entire school district had outsourced its staffing service to this private, untested firm. And it was a disaster through much of Savannah's junior year at high school. So, you know, this agency was in charge of making sure that there were substitutes there every day at all the schools across the city, making sure that, you know, when a teacher went on sick leave or disability or decided to quit or whatever, that they found a replacement. And they just were doing an abysmal job. And it was very affecting Savannah. And specifically, you know, she had a teacher who she was very close with. When that teacher left, that was hard on her. And then the staffing service just wasn't finding someone to replace that position in a good way. And then you put on top of that that, you know, all the daily absences that happen with teachers at her school weren't really being filled. And it just felt like nobody was there for the kids. And Savannah really spoke to that in a powerful way.
And Savannah, what did you think when Kevin asked you to share your story, knowing that you'd have to share so much personal information, or maybe you didn't know that initially?
When I actually first met Kevin, I thought it was just like, it couldn't be true. I was like, wait a minute, is this guy really a reporter? And I was just looking at my supervisor like, Grace, oh my God, like, what should I do? And she was like, take the risk. Go ahead, just take it. And I didn't actually think that I was gonna like talk about like my life. I thought I was going to talk about the struggles that I've been through in Edison and just a lot of obstacles that I've been through and the things that I've overcame. And then when we actually started to, you know, he actually started to care more than that. And I was willing to take the risk. And I trusted him a lot to just be able to, you know, have conversation with me about more than what was just going on in school. I felt that I could share my story so others could hear and know that there's always a way.
Kevin, why don't you tell us about the neighborhood that Savannah lives in, Kensington, also known as the Badlands?
Right. So, that's a term that is kind of a nickname that outsiders use, but it certainly becomes people inside know it. I remember, you know, whenever one of our early interviews, Savannah talked about that. She said, you know, people look at this neighborhood and they think of it as the Badlands. And she kind of openly admits that there was a period in her life where that rang true. She looked around her. You know, you see open air drug use, you see open air drug dealing, you see poverty in many different ways manifesting in front of you. You see, Savannah talked about when she first moved into one of the houses that she lived in, you know, two doors down, there's a vacant lot there right now. Why? Well, she says the house burned down because of crackheads. She talked about, you know, looking out her window and seeing dog fighting happen and dogs just brutally, you know, going at each other until they bled. It's an area that's known a major hub of heroin trade, of prostitution. It's a major point of focus for the Philadelphia Police Department. It's been featured in you know, many national stories about those sort of subjects. So it's a very difficult place for a child to grow up, and you have to overcome a lot to be able to do that. And, you know, unfortunately, the way people often try to, you know, work through that is by, you know, hardening themselves, maybe becoming part of that culture, or just, you know, freezing off the world around you. And again, one of the things that makes Savannah very unique is that she has stayed so open and so optimistic about life and about her ability to see herself beyond this neighborhood. And that's really what drew me to her especially.
And Kevin, early on in the podcast, you sort of to show the cyclical nature of this poverty and how hard it is to break out of these neighborhoods, you go back to when Savannah's mom was pregnant with her and show us similarities and differences there.
Yeah. And Savannah has had a contentious, difficult relationship with her mom. Sometimes there's upswings, sometimes there's downswings, sometimes, in ways that I think would be very upsetting for a lot of listeners. They were certainly upsetting for me. But yes, Savannah's mom was 16 when she gave birth to Savannah, and she went to the same exact high school that Savannah went to, Edison High School. And when she was pregnant, she talked about, you know, very openly trying to terminate the pregnancy by smoking PCP and just kind of ignoring it and hoping it would go away. Her mom, Savannah's grandmother, interceded. They went to the doctors, and Savannah ends up being born 2 months premature, as she says, I'm a fighter since birth. And I think that her mom has been kind of struggling with that teen pregnancy and what it meant in her life since then. When Savannah becomes a teen mom, it's kind of the opposite. I think she saw a real opportunity to become the best version of herself that she could be. And her daughter, Layla, you know, and she can speak to this much better than I can, inspires her to, you know, to make her life as good as she can do.
Yeah, Savannah, you say in the podcast that having your daughter Layla actually helped keep you out of trouble.
Yes, for me, my daughter is very motivating and she's very inspirational. The reason why is because of the fact of, like Kevin said, me and my mother really never had good terms, and sometimes we did, but my whole pregnancy was the worst. And I decided to make better of myself, and I decided to love this child, and I decided to put my all in her, and I wanted to do things for her that my mom kind of didn't do for me, and show her the affection and love and the attention that I kind of didn't get. And I wanted to prove everyone wrong. I wanted to show them that just because I'm young and you guys think this is a mistake, but I took it as God blessed me with a gift that was going to make me move forward and help me overcome so much. And she did.
You overcome so much. You had a really tough childhood. Your father abused you, and then you had to go to court to talk about that, and it made you feel re-victimized. Was it different when you told those stories for the podcast?
I actually, when I was talking to Kevin, I felt like I was stronger. I felt that I could actually do more than what I thought I could.
And Kevin, that must be something of a relief to hear that. You say in the podcast that you did ask her, as Savannah, you know, are you sure you want to share this? People will hear it. Did you feel at all conflicted about that? And how does it feel to hear that reaction?
It's a reaction that, you know, again, we've had these conversations many times over the course of a year. I mean, we're talking right now about this childhood abuse that she had to endure. But there are many other things that, you know, I always would question, you know, yeah, you're talking to me right now. And, you know, you and I have this relationship that we've built. But how is this going to feel once all this is out in the world and all of it's public? And she was always very resolute in this feeling that her telling her story was empowering her, and that she felt like, you know, the truth was going to set her free in a sense. And, you know, I felt confident going into publication that, you know, we had that conversation. She was on board. She knew exactly what was going to be there. And I'm glad that she still feels that way, because, you know, there's a lot of difficult things in this podcast.
If you're just joining us, this is Take Note on WPSU. I'm Emily Reddy. Our guests are Kevin McCory and Savannah Zayas. Kevin interviewed Savannah over the course of more than a year in order to make the Schooled podcast. And this podcast is about Savannah, but it's also the story of the Philadelphia schools dealing with students who have higher needs than most. Kevin, you say the system is designed in a way that concentrates these highest needs students in inner city schools like Edison High School, where Savannah went to school. Talk about the ways that some of the stronger or at least less high needs students are siphoned off.
Well, you start from the state level and you think about how our school districts in Pennsylvania are organized. And there's 500 of them, and that's a fairly high amount compared to, say, Maryland. Below us has 25 school districts. And so you have 500, and what does that mean? It means that you're heavily parochializing districts by wealth and poverty. You have, you know, in the Philadelphia region, you have Philadelphia, and then you have, you know, a lot of wealthier districts drawn right outside. You know, I use Chester Upland as another example. Chester Upland is a very tiny school district in a poor part of southeastern Pennsylvania, and it's very specifically drawn around the city of Chester. And it doesn't include, parts of Radnor or Wallingford or these other wealthy areas that are literally across the street. And so why do we draw boundaries around districts in that way? That's a whole question to examine, but that's one way that this siphoning begins to happen, right? You have the expectation that if you're a family of greater wealth and means, you can move to another place and separate yourself from students who are suffering greater poverty.
So maybe you step one, move to the suburbs.
Right. And so either you have the ability to do that and you can, or you can't. And so step two then is, you know, districts have tried to retain more students, and this has been successful for them by creating more specialty options, especially at the high school level. So we're talking about magnet schools. We're talking about specialty admission schools where there's some sort of criteria to get into those schools. So, of course, that's going to siphon off a lot of students who have high academic ability or high arts ability or theater ability or whatever the exact nature of the school is. Then you have, obviously, the advent of the charter school movement where you have more schools, again, who are offering, you know, in some cases, a very great opportunity for some students. But there is a lottery, there is a wait list, and then there's a lottery to get in. And then, you know, you kind of have to have the wherewithal and the parents with the wherewithal to make sure that you're on that lottery and you get into the school. And then if you do, you know, you have to travel. So there's just a lot of logistics to making sure that you're on the bus and that XYZ happens. And then finally, you have neighborhood schools like Savannah's Edison High School, where Savannah, you know, was smart enough to go to some of these selective Philadelphia high schools, but it timed at a point in her life when she just had a baby, and just logistically, between trying to take care of the baby and take care of herself in school and deal with all the other family things that she has to deal with, you know, the closest school to her house just was the one that made sense. And that's, you know, that's essentially what happens in a lot of these instances. And so what happens at schools like Edison is that, you know, you look at the stats and, you know, the poverty level is always higher. The level of kids with special education disabilities is always higher. The level of kids who, you know, are still learning English language learners is always higher. The amount of kids who have had some contact with, like, you know, the Department of Human Services, child welfare, those rates are always higher at these neighborhood schools. And so that if you're a staff member at these schools, you kind of come in feeling like, wow, we are being tasked with the most difficult situation. And then if you turn around and look at the resources, you see that the resources aren't flowing to that school in a way that's commensurate with the need. So it becomes very demoralizing for staff. That's why you see a lot of high turnover. That's why you see, you know, maybe some burnout. And then, you know, Savannah can speak to this way more than I can because she spent 4 years in this school. And you have some people who really make connections and who are great educators despite all of that. And you have, you know, some who maybe aren't doing what they need, or there just isn't the support or the amount of people in the building that are really needed to support those kids in that way.
And these educators like Mrs. Woodward, who we see, Savannah is one of your favorite teachers. She leaves your junior year. And it sounds like it's at a time when a lot of teachers have left. Talk about what school was like at that time and what your frustrations were, especially since you wanted to go to college and you felt like you weren't being prepared.
Yeah, so when my teacher actually left, it was a big shock for everyone because she was, for us, in our opinion, she was like the best teacher there. And the reason for that was because she always came prepared and she always was ready to teach. And we were always excited to go to that room to learn. And it was just the thought of her leaving was the thought of our education leaving. And we actually, that year, we tried to, like, sign a petition. And, you know, the teacher was just like, you guys, I'm doing this on my own. I'm doing this because I don't feel like I am growing. And she basically, like, apologized. And it felt so horrible because I was so excited to finish the school year with that teacher, to see how much I would have grown with that teacher, to see how much I would have learned with that teacher. And it was really emotional for me because I didn't get the experience. I didn't get the experience and the knowledge that I wanted because I know she cared that much. Most teachers did not sit down and explain to the class, like, this is exactly how you do something, or this is exactly how you overcome this problem, or this is how you get to the solution. They will just hand us papers or make us copy notes. And for me, that wasn't enough.
And she wasn't really replaced. It was just substitutes, fill-ins, trying to get by after that, right?
It was more like empty classroom type of thing. And sometimes there'll be teachers and sometimes they won't. And sometimes there'll be sticky notes on the door sending us from door to door. And it was just, it was ridiculous. It got to the point that I actually my junior year, I actually started to hate to go to school. And I love school. But that year, I hated going every day knowing that there was not going to be a teacher in my class. I hated knowing that I was not going to learn. I was wasting my time every single day.
And throughout this podcast, the question is she going to graduate high school? You're juggling being a single mom, going to school, working, helping to run the household. Toward the end of high school, you have a lot of issues with being absent or late to school. Did you always know you were going to make it?
I always told myself that I would, but really inside, I didn't feel like I could. And when actually I started to meet Kevin and talk to Kevin, I felt like that made me carry myself a little more of being more determined, because honestly, I felt like if I didn't have Kevin to consistently, you know, do checkups and like be there, and you know, my boss Maura and you know, my supervisors, I felt like I would have dropped, because I really felt like that after people were left. And then like the next year, it felt like it got tougher, and then the last year, it felt like it was the toughest, and I was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't. And then, like, every day that I've checked in with Kevin and I got it all off my chest, I was so ready the next day. I was just so ready to fight the next day. And I just kept telling myself, just keep going, because at the end, this is going to be part of your story. And you're going to have a story to show everyone that you've made it. And I'm so proud that I actually did, because I've always felt that I couldn't. And just looking at my daughter every day, just going through the challenges, and it was really tough. And I just told myself, like, this is going to be big. People are going to hear your story. People are going to see the things that they don't see and they don't hear. And I want to be that person that they look and they say, wow, like, this girl is amazing. She is incredible.
And you graduated in the top 25 students in your class on June 16th. And congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Kevin Savannah's story is inspiring, but in a lot of ways, it's the exception. As you note, only about half of the students who entered Savannah's high school and many like it made it to graduation.
That's right. I mean, and the stats are especially more difficult when you add in, you know, being a teen mom or being the child of a teen mom. So, you know, in many ways, yes, Savannah is the exception, but I think that I tried to in the podcast make clear that there are kids who are like her, who are showing up to schools every day that maybe some people write off, but they're fighting and they're really optimistic and pushing towards the future. And so we meet a couple other kids like that, and we have some teachers who talk about them. Because, you know, as amazing as Savannah's story is, and we know it in detail through the podcast, you know, she's not alone in wanting something more. And, you know, being a kid who shows up at school, you know, wanting something better than what they have. You know, they look around their neighborhood and they say that I can do something better than this. I don't have to fall into this trap. I don't have to be a part of generational poverty. And there's enough people like Savannah who are going to make it.
And you say in an ideal world, the story would end there. But Kevin, you talked with Savannah not long after graduation, and she was already facing new hurdles.
Right. So we should say, you know, Savannah's talking to us right now via cell phone from Florida. So pretty much right after graduation, you know, she had a tense physical altercation with her mom that made her decide that she could no longer continue living in her house. And she's lucky that she has a grandmother who was willing to foot the bill for her to fly down to Florida to stay with her for a while. And that's probably a very positive, stable thing for Savannah in her life. She can speak more to that. And the question then becomes, you know, what's next for Savannah? You know, we've always talked about college. You know, she had been planning on going to the Community College of Philadelphia, and now she's in Florida and she's lacking the proximity of the support system that she had here, right? So she has this, she had this job for the past couple of years at this nonprofit Providence, where she worked with kids in an after-school program. And the people who run that program were very close with Savannah and have really meant the world to her and have been, you know, like her rock, her peace place, she calls it. And they were really going to be able to help her, you know, make the transition to college. Her daughter is going to be starting kindergarten in the fall. They were going to be able to help with some of that. And so, you know, I'm worried, and the people at Providence are a little worried about, you know, what's Savannah going to do down there, and is she going to be able to do it to the same level that she would be able to here with this sort of support? But it's a balance, obviously, between her home life and that. And you know, it seems like it's a good thing for her to be down there right now, but we're just all cheering for her and hoping that she figures out a way to make college work down there and keeps focused on her dreams and her goals, because they're big.
So Savannah, what is next for you?
I'm really, really looking forward to go to college, but it's like kind of difficult at the moment because I don't have a vehicle, and both of my grandparents kind of work, and I have to like work around their work schedule, and soon the baby will be starting school. So we have to like set a goal plan on who will be dropping off the baby in the morning. You know, we have to like look at work schedules and who's available to pick her up and who's available to drop her off. But I know once I get my vehicle that I'm going to go to college. I already told my grandma, this is my goal. My goal was find a perfect place that you're positive, you're at peace, you're not stressed, and just go for it. I've been looking for colleges. I've been doing shadows. I've actually been on like phones with agencies that set me up for appointments, and there's like programs that can like actually be that mentor for me. Mm-hmm. And once I got everything figured out, I'm planning on like still going to college, just maybe doing night classes.
And Kevin, you say at the end of this season that the next season of the Schooled podcast will focus on an effort to overhaul a struggling elementary school. Can you briefly tell us a little bit more about that school, where it is, and what we can expect from that story?
Sure. It's an elementary school in Germantown that was transferred into a charter school in the beginning of this past school year. So I followed that school also throughout the year. And the principal of that school is an amazing person who grew up in North Philadelphia, not too far from where Savannah grew up. And he was able to overcome some very traumatic things to make a life for himself, become this principal. And now he's in this position where the kids who come to his school every day live lives that were a lot like his when he was a kid. And so, you know, it's the story of him and those kids and some of the teachers in that building as they try to, you know, figure out their way into making this school better. And of course, there's an analysis within that story of what makes this charter school unique and how they do things differently from the school district, and maybe what advantages they have that the school district doesn't have. And, you know, we get into the funding and all that sort of conversation. But at the heart of the story is going to be, you know, the story about that principal and those teachers and those children.
Kevin and Savannah, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you so much, Emily.
Kevin McCory is the Keystone Crossroads education reporter. He interviewed Savannah Zayas over the course of more than a year in order to make the Schooled podcast. To listen to the podcast and see photos of Savannah and her daughter, Layla, find links on our website at wpsu.org/take note. I'm Emily Reddy, WPSU.